To advance in life, one has to understand the laws of life. Like anything else, for us to be a winner, to become winners, it's important that we understand what the rules are. Take, for example, a sports game, a soccer game. For us to be successful or to win in that game, it's important for us to understand what are the rules, the regulations for this soccer game. How can I score? What is a penalty? What will hold me back? What will prevent me from advancing? And so life is similar. Life has rules, regulations, laws. You can call them decrees. And if we understand them well, we're able to propel forward. We'll be able to advance in life. And there are two major decrees that I would like to talk about today that can help us propel forward in life, in this test that we live in. And the first decree is al-hukm al-kawni. This is the universal decree. This is the decree that when Allah decrees for something to exist, He says, be and it becomes. So this encompasses the creation of Allah because it exists by Allah's decree, the universal decree. And anything else that exists or that happens from events and actions, all of that falls under this universal decree because nothing can exist or happen without this decree of Allah subhanahu wa jalla wa ala. So the creation of the sun, the stars, and the moon are all al-hukm al-kawni, are all from this universal decree. The creation of time is from this universal decree. And under this category are also things that we have no control over, which fall under this universal decree. Like for example, our birthplace. We had no say in where we would be born. Our race. We had no say in what our race would be. Our age, what it is right now, we have no say in how time progresses year after year. And we have no say in stopping time or slowing time or reversing time. All of these items which we have no control over also fall under the al-hukm al-kawni, the universal decree. The second kind of decree is al-hukm al-taklifi. This is the directional decree. This is when Allah decrees commands and prohibitions for mankind to live. Commands and prohibitions that are designed to be the utmost benefit for man in this life. And these commands and prohibitions, we have a choice. It's not like the first category where we don't have a choice. Here we have a choice. We have a choice to implement these commands and prohibitions. This decree of Allah could happen, and it may not happen. Allah has decreed for us to be honest. There are people who lie. Allah has decreed for us to be charitable. There are people who are stingy. Allah has decreed for us to take care of the poor. There are people who neglect the poor. So this category, it could happen or it may not happen. The first category, the universal decree, where we didn't choose our race or our gender. We had no say if we were going to be male or female. This is called involuntary submission, where all of us have involuntarily submitted and acknowledged that, yes, we have no control. Yes, we have acknowledged that our birthplace, we've acknowledged our race. You don't have a Chinese person saying that he's of Hispanic race because he acknowledges this decree of Allah. And it would be nonsensical for someone to contest this al-hukm al-kawni, this universal decree. Versus the directional decree, the commands and prohibitions, this is where voluntary submission is. We can voluntarily submit to Allah's commands or prohibitions, or we can choose not to do it. Allah has commanded us to stay away from riba, not to have interest-bearing transactions, not to have interest-bearing bank accounts. We can choose to do it, or we can think we're making money and get involved in interest. It's a choice of ours. But Islam uses the premise of al-hukm al-kawni, the universal decree where we have involuntary submission. Islam uses that as a premise and says, look, You involuntarily submit to your gender, to your race, to your location where you were born. You involuntarily submit to these decrees of Allah. This fact that you acknowledge and agree to should guide you to full submission by submitting to the commands and prohibitions of Allah. And this full submission, and we talked about the rules and laws and how to be successful in life, this full submission is the recipe of being successful in life. As Allah subhanahu jalla wa ala said, Bala, man aslama wajhahu lillahi wa huwa muhsinun, falahu ajruhu inda rabbihi wala khawfun alayhim wala hum yahzanun. Where Allah subhanahu says, certainly the one who submits himself to Allah, this is the full submission, voluntary submission. The one who submits himself to Allah, surely he will have his reward with Allah and there will be no fear, nor will he grieve. This is success. The definition of success is when we understand that involuntary submission should lead us to full, absolute submission to Allah subhanahu's commands and prohibitions. And when we find the Queen of Sheba, Bilqis, when she saw the wonders of Sulaiman alayhi salam, that he was able to, by Allah's power and permission, to move her throne from her land in Yemen all the way to his palace. This is from Al-Hukm Al-Kawni. This is the abilities, the provisions that Allah has provided Sulaiman alayhi salam. This is the universal decree, things that human beings don't have control or power over. And when she entered his palace, she thought it was a body of water, so she lifted her dress thinking that she would have to tread water. And then Sulaiman alayhi salam said, it's just a palace that's paved out of crystal. And so when she saw this, she saw al-hukm al-kawn, she saw the bounties and the will and the decree that Allah has provided Sulaiman alayhi salam. She used that universal decree as a premise to enter into full submission. She qalat rabbi inni zalamtu nafsi wa aslamtu ma'a Sulaiman lillahi rabbil alameen. This queen then said, I have wronged myself. She realized that she has to have complete submission because she understood this universal decree. She said, I have wronged myself. And I now fully submit with Sulaiman to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And this submission, full submission, is very important because if we remain in our involuntary submission, things that we acknowledge and recognize, we live in a conflict. In conflict with nature, where the sun, the moon, the stars, and the universe all fully submit to Allah. So we become those beings that are in dissonance to the universe, that don't fully submit while everything else besides the man and the jinn are submitting to Allah subhanahu. And when we have this conflict, the human being living with this conflict constantly tries to seek peace because this conflict does not allow the person to be in peace. And the only way a person will be in peace if they go all the way, if they propel forward and fulfill the submission, the voluntary submission, such that it's full submission. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. That only by the dhikr and the remembrance and the worship of Allah do the hearts find peace. It's through this submission. And worse than that, worse than someone just sticking behind in involuntary submission, not going all the way and also doing the voluntary submission, worse than that is when some people try to contest the universal decree. Contest what we all acknowledge that we have involuntarily submitted to. For example, someone saying, why do I have to die? We shouldn't die. We're contesting the concept of death when everyone knows that we all will die. To contest this concept, this universal decree, is nonsensical. It's like saying, if I'm going to play in the World Cup, a soccer game, I'm going to contest, why is there a time limit? Those are the rules. Those are the laws of the game. So once we enter into life, we come on this earth, it doesn't make sense for us to contest the laws and the decrees that are given in this world for this life. So someone contesting that, why should they die, it doesn't make sense. If someone contests their age, and someone says, look, I'm 75 now, but I feel younger. So anytime I have to fill up an application or form, they ask me for my age, I'm not going to put 75, I'm going to put 25, because I feel, and I can identify myself with a 25-year-old. This is contesting the universal decree. It doesn't make any sense. We can't change time. We can't change these givens in the universe. The same thing with gender. If someone says, no matter how they feel, they can't contest if they're a male or a female. It's a given. We're born with those qualities. And so by contesting involuntary submission, it's not propelling forward, it's actually regression. We're going backwards. And so propelling forward means to understand what is the given in this universe. What are the givens in this test? Yes, there's a time limit, I have to die. Yes, I have a gender that has been chosen for me. And for me, is to how do I use these givens to have to complete this test, to be successful through full submission. And to contest it is like someone going to the soccer field and saying, and playing a game of soccer, that, hey, we should not have these nets here. We should have hoops. That's how we should play soccer. It's a given. When you go to a soccer field, that's a given. Those are the rules. Those are the laws. And you have to play within the rules and laws. And trying to contest them, you're just wasting time because there's a time limit for that soccer game to end. These two decrees are very important for us to understand to live this life. And this is why Allah subhanahu, He told us that if we say we're going to do something in the future has to deal with time. And we don't own time. We can't claim a slot of time in the future because we don't own it. And this is why Allah subhanahu said that we should not say we're going to do something tomorrow, illa an yasha Allah, except by saying insha'Allah. Because something to do with time in the future, that has to do with the universal decree. And we can't claim that. And so we have to, this is where the nexus is, where the universal decree and the directional decree, which we voluntarily submit, cross. And so if I'm going to say I'm going to give charity next week, that's part of the directional decree, that I have the choice to do that. But I have to couple that and acknowledge the universal decree that it's not going to happen because I don't have control over time, except if Allah wills. And so there's two strategies. There's a couple of strategies I want to give today of how we can propel forward in this life, in this test, by avoiding things that would actually hold us back from advancing in this life and in this test. The first is not being stuck in the past. Sometimes we get stuck with events that happened in the past and we just can't let go. Those experiences may be unpleasant. They may be difficult that we went through, distasteful, and it's difficult for us at times to just let go. But by not letting go of that past, we hinder ourselves from moving forward. Like an argument we may have with someone, and then we have that bad taste, and we're not able to speak to that person properly, we're not able to cooperate with that person properly, we're not able to do ventures with that person, which could probably benefit ourselves, our families, and the community. So we're stuck in the past, and we're rewinding and replaying the past. And Allah subhanahu teaches us that in this life, taught us to drop the past and to move forward. There was a man in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who used to live in Mecca while the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions migrated to Medina. He wanted to migrate to Medina and go to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But his family told him, don't go, don't leave us, stay here. And so he stayed. And then years later, he went to Medina, and when he went to Medina, he saw that how the companions had advanced in their knowledge and practice and worship and understanding of Islam. And he was away all this time and he lost out. And so he regretted and he resented his family that held him back. And he said, when I go back, I'm going to do this and do that and do this to my family because they made me lose time. They made me lose all these opportunities. And then Allah subhanahu revealed, وَإِن تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَحُوا وَتَغْفِرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Then Allah revealed that if you pardon and overlook and forgive, then surely Allah is the most forgiving, the most merciful. Here Allah is teaching him and teaching us to let go of the past. If mistakes were done by people that hurt us or harmed us in some way, we can't live with that. We can't have a culture of intiqam, a culture of revenge, a culture of confrontation, a culture of being trigger happy about suing everyone and anyone that upsets us. But we have to create a culture of cooperation and not confrontation. So the first thing that holds us back is being stuck in the past. The second, what holds us back is the scarcity mindset. The scarcity mindset where if you have a business and someone two blocks down opens a similar business, or you have a website and someone opens a similar business online, you feel like they are going to take away all your customers. This comes from the scarcity mindset, that there's not enough people that will buy your product. There's not enough in the resources in the world to go around. That's a scarcity mindset. But instead, the mindset should be, oh, great, another person has opened up a similar business to provide product, goods, and services which benefits mankind. So it's great he's doing that. Let me figure out what my value proposition is, what my unique selling proposition is, how I can differentiate, how I can leverage my strengths and be different so both of us can provide those goods and services, but to different audiences because it's custom now and it's needed to, and the more we serve various audiences, the better it is for mankind. But the scarcity mindset makes that person want to attack that person, makes that person want to call the billing department that person because his permit is not up, and try to attack him and destroy him because he thinks that if he's alive and there, I won't be able to survive. That's a scarcity mindset. Or we have friends and or family, and we have some initiatives, we're involved in some endeavors, and they say, well, if you don't do what I'm telling you, if you don't take my advice, I'm not going to support you anymore. I'm not going to come anymore, etc. That's coming from a scarcity of mindset. The person thinks that my support is going to make this successful. And if I'm not here, nothing's going to happen. As if there's no one else, nothing else around. There are no other people around to help. That's a scarcity of mindset. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights this scarcity mindset with the munafiqun, the hypocrites. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُمُ الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ لَا تُنْفِقُوا عَلَى مَنْ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ حَتَّى يَنْفَضُّوا. That they're the ones, the hypocrites, those who have disbelief inside and pretend to be Muslim on the outside. They're living in this conflict. Allah says that they're the ones who say, do not spend on those who are with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that they may leave the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is from the scarcity mindset. They were thinking that if they could stop people from spending on those who migrated to the Prophet Muhammad, who left their families, left their businesses, who left their wealth and everything, just came with their shirt on their back. And if they were able to stop people from giving them funds, that everything would collapse. Allah attacks this scarcity mindset by answering back and says, وَلِلَّهِ خَزَائِنُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, but to Allah belongs the treasures of the heavens and the earth, the treasures of the universe. But the munafiqun, the hypocrites, they don't understand. It's an understanding problem. This scarcity, it's a mindset problem. And so this mindset holds us back. And this is the core problem of envy. It's a scarcity mindset. Why does this person have a nice house, a nice car? Why is this person wealthy? It's from the scarcity mindset, thinking that these things cannot, they're not enough in the world for it to go around. And so I have this envy and I have this jealousy. But my hope and expectation should be the other way around. If I see that Allah can give someone a good house or give them wealth, instead of being envious and wanting that to be removed from another person, I should go to the source. The source is Allah, and then if He can give him, He can give me. And so as believers, every single one of us should expect and hope from Allah that He makes him or her into a billionaire. What is that to Allah, to make you into a billionaire? It's nothing. You shouldn't have this expectation that you should be a millionaire. You should have this expectation and hope that Allah make you a billionaire, because to Allah belongs the treasures of the universe, and that's nothing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we remove our scarcity mindset, it starts to stop holding us back from advancing and moving forward. It helps us cooperate instead of confront. It helps us to think and understand that resources are many and much more than what we're seeing within our two eyes. I ask Allah subhanahu to help us understand the the laws and regulations of this life and this test, so we may pass it and become winners and become successful in the hereafter. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب.